Today I have the Democratic candidate, Dee Dee Barrett, on the live line with us and to talk about her candidacy and everything else that's on her mind. Good morning, Ms. Barrett.
Good morning, Phil. Thank you. What a great way to start the day with a big bopper. That's what I like.
Yeah. That's all of those old ones there. I play regularly. It's a good way for me to run off my grandchildren.
Smart man.
So I took a look at your very attractive website this morning. And is running through a few press releases. As you know, Mr. Burns was a guest on my show, I think, last week sometime. And so I see you have a lot afoot. So tell me, what's on your mind right now that is critical to your election?
Well, you know, Phil, I was elected actually in March in a special election and been very honored to represent the city of Hudson for the last 6 months. The seat that I finished the term of had belonged to Mark Molinaro. He had been the assemblyman, had stepped down to run for when he was elected Dutchess County Executive, and then the governor called for the special election. So that was, you know, that's been just a great honor and a wonderful opportunity to really get to know in an entirely different way the city of Hudson and the surrounding area in Columbia County, which I adore and which is just beautiful and such a vibrant part of the Hudson Valley. And now I really, you know, would love the opportunity to be elected to a full term so I can continue the stuff that we started in our short time in office. We really kind of hit the ground running with a mobile district office tour, which we held up at Grays and Diner on Warren Street as one of our six locations, as well as in Greenport at the Plaza Diner, to hear firsthand from constituents. And we visited a couple of the senior centers and communities in the region. And that informed, you know, that's the first work that we started doing in the district. It's just been terrific to hear firsthand from people how open they are about the things that they need and how grateful they are to have a representative who's interested in what they have to say and what their concerns are and has been, you know, getting to work right away for them. So that's what I really would love people to know, that I ran, I kept my promises to be a full-time legislator and to refuse all per diems and travel expenses and to vote against all tax returns. And I'd love to go back to Albany and to be reelected in November so I can continue working for this district.
Tell me, what have been your your top priorities since you take over?
Well, the top priorities have, you know, which I think are the priorities of this region is, is just to be sure that we start looking at ways to bring jobs to this area that stay local. We've seen way too much of hemorrhaging of jobs all up and down the Hudson Valley, that where people thought that, that we had businesses that were committed to being here, but for a range of different reasons, they've disappeared. So I would say that, that jobs and reducing the tax burden to all of our residents, the families and communities, the businesses and our farms, and being sure that we get the kind of mandate relief that will help us keep our communities vibrant and our school systems successful. And then, what's always important is keeping our families safe, and we introduced a lot of legislation this year that addressed domestic violence and addressed bullying. There's unfortunately, we live in a climate where, there's just way too much of a antagonistic and aggressive undercurrent that we really need to be sure our families are protected from. But, well, most important, Phil, let me just make one more point here, is that I want to be sure that our region is at the table all the time. And, that's what I am looking forward to going back to Albany to assure, because the Hudson Valley, people talk about downstate and upstate, and, I truly believe we are one state, New York State. But oftentimes the Hudson Valley gets left in the middle of that conversation, left out. And, I just want to be sure that doesn't happen ever again.
Oh, well, you and I, from the media side, you and I could have a long conversation commiserating about that.
Mm-hmm. It plays out in every arena.
Yes, we seem like we don't exist. I'm glad you brought up the subject of mandates. As you know, our station manager is a blogger, Lynn Sloniker, and she and I were talking just yesterday in her education segment about the mandates and about the reactions of the local supervisors to the mandates, some saying that they're unfair, putting them in a squeeze. What is your opinion on the mandates?
Well, you know, when the 2% tax cap was introduced, you know, the understanding was there would be kind of a 1-2 punch, that we'd get the 2% tax cap to really keep the huge excess of tax burden on New Yorkers, and try to rein that in. But the other part of that was to be sure that there was mandate relief, so that when that cap was implemented, that school districts and counties and towns and and our municipalities weren't forced to keep doing the same things with a lot less resources. And unfortunately, that has not yet happened. And so we need to be much more proactive about that kind of unfunded mandate relief, and it's a definite priority of mine. I co-sponsored some legislation called the Unfunded Mandate Reform Act, which actually will give the governor and the legislature a blueprint for being sure that that we address this issue, and we address it in a way that assures that the services that we really need to provide are there, but that the taxpayer, because ultimately it's always the taxpayer that gets left holding the bag, that this is not become excessive, both in the terms of the cost and the lack of services and the lack of programs that come when there aren't adequate resources to pay for things that people are expected to provide.
Okay, if you just joined us, you're listening to the WGXC Morning Show. Philip is on your radio with Dee Dee Barrett, who is our assembly person for the 106th Assembly District, and she's running for a re-election coming up on this November the 6th. And, of course, WGXC is a mutual and a nonprofit station, so the opinions that you hear on the station are not that of WGXC's. I'm looking at the map of the 106th district, and my goodness. For those of you, of course, Ms. Barrett knows what it looks like, and if you don't have radio television, if you go to her website, it's unbelievable. It's as far north as Ghent, all the way down to Poughkeepsie?
The southern end of the town of Poughkeepsie.
My goodness. So how are you going to do that?
Well, the district that I was just elected to, the 103rd, is equally large, diverse, spread out, and that I have been representing that district for 6 months now, and that district, in fact, was divided into five different districts. So this 106 is a similar size and has a similar mix of, the city of Hudson, which I just love. So we have our urban anchor, and we have suburban communities, and we have incredible farmland, and we've got really significant educational institutions in this 106th district. We've got great American history. We've got great industrial history. It's natural resources. We have the Hudson River. We have the foothills of the Berkshires and the Taconic Mountains. So I like to think of it as kind of a snapshot of America, a little microcosm of our whole country. And so it makes it very interesting to be able to address all the things that, that are on the plate around the country right now. We are facing urban issues, and I'm so proud of the Promised Neighborhood opportunity for Hudson and the Hudson School District region, that, that can be a model for the state and in other urban communities. It's a great opportunity that I look forward to continuing to work with. But we will address the huge needs of our small businesses. The New York State continues to be rated as one of the most unfriendly business states in the country, and it's partly about taxes and partly about unfunded mandates, but there's also regulations and red tape that we really need to look at and be sure that we create opportunities for our small businesses, because they truly are the backbone of our economy. And our farms are, you know, I'm such a huge advocate of farming as an economic engine. I want to really see us in the Hudson Valley and in New York State as a whole put the spotlight on farming. And, you know, the governor has already started to do that with his yogurt summit, and we passed legislation this year to support farm breweries so that we have a whole new crop and hops and a whole new agritourism and business opportunity for our farms. So, you know, it's a diverse and spread out district, but it's a beautiful district, and there's so much opportunity. And like I said, I like the idea of us being a model for how to get things done and make it work that the rest of the state and the rest of the country can look at.
Well, it certainly is a beautiful area. I see that you have most of a good part of Columbia County, which is my home. And I'm so glad that you touched on the subject of farms, because I'm out in farm country, and it's just such an important part of New York State that people
and
don't.
You know, and it doesn't get the focus that I believe it deserves, and that's something that from the moment I got there, I've been very honored to be on the Agriculture Committee, as well as the Committee on Aging and the Veterans Affairs Committee. So three really important committees to our region and to our life, so that, you know, that I really feel that there's a chance to have an impact on these areas.
Ah, then there'll be pumpkin beer and apple cider all around.
Why not?
Let's touch on some controversy. I was looking at a press release about apparently a mailer that was sent out about from the RNC. What's that all about?
Well, you know, my opponent has been sending out mailers that, you know, that talk about jobs, and his citation has been this so-called independent organization, and in fact, in an interview, he described it as one of New York's most important business associations, and it's not in New York, number one, it's not a business association, and it's definitely, it's not the least bit independent. It's a lobbying group that is based in Tennessee, and it's called the it's supported by Karl Rove's Crossroad GPS and the Koch brothers, and you know, has strong ties to the National Republican Committee, and it's called the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which is, you know, just basically another one of those titles that is just there to we unleashed some really bad stuff with the Citizens United bill, and, you know, this is just another organization that's under the, pretends to be something legitimate and, you know, is really just a lobbying organization. And, in fact, one of its, the Todd Akin, who was, you know, Mr. Legitimate Rape, as well as endorsing, you know, my opponent. And I feel like my opponent really our constituents deserve an explanation from my opponent about, you know, why he would be willing to accept an endorsement from an organization like that. And their rating in what they're, you know, what they're measuring legislators on the basis of is completely phony. They rated me on things that I wasn't even there for. Four of the legislators, the four of us who were elected in March, all got zero ratings. So I find it troubling that that this particular faction, which we've been seeing throughout the country, is right here alive and unfortunately active here in the Hudson Valley.
So that outside PAC money thing is having an effect on our races here in New York also.
Right, definitely, and right here in the Hudson Valley. So this is what, you know, this is what my opponent has been sending mailers citing this organization, which is, you know, basically a corporate special interest group based in Tennessee.
Hmm. So how can anyone who is interested in your campaign or interested in volunteering or interested in making a contribution, how can they contact you and become a volunteer?
Well, I would love them to visit our website, which is www.ddibarrett.com. It's D-I-D-I-B-A-R-R-E-T-T.com. And we would love to have, you know, whereas you know, there we're at the countdown to Election Day, and we would love to have everybody and anybody. We had 25 people in our office, our campaign office in Poughkeepsie, making phone calls last night. It was really great. It was exciting to see so much energy and so much enthusiasm, and everybody out there doing. We're ringing doorbells every day. Anybody who wants to take me around their neighborhood, I'd love to have their company and have them introduce me to their friends. This is truly a grassroots campaign, and has been from our first campaign last spring. I love this area. I live in this area. I shop in this area. I meet my friends when I have time to do that. This is we both just discussed. It's just such a beautiful area, and we're all so blessed to be able to live in such a beautiful place. And we really want to do whatever we can to be sure that the jobs we bring here are the jobs that will support the things that we love about living here. And I think that's absolutely doable. So I'd love to have anybody support. On our website, you can donate, you can sign up to volunteer, you can read about me and my issues and all the endorsements that we've gotten, and I hope people will.
And that website is ddbarrett.com.
DIDIBARRETT.com, yes.
I'm looking right at it. And I love to ask candidates the same question. When did you get the bug? Because I admire political candidates. It's just something I wouldn't do.
Well,
never
say never. It could be you next.
What motivated you to serve the public in an elected position? I'm always interested to hear the different stories of how you decided that this is what I want to do.
I have been involved in not-for-profit sector all my life. Somebody described me recently as someone who's made a career of making a difference, which is, you know, a pretty wonderful thing to have someone say about you. But it was a good framework for the choices that I've made in my career. And I was asked to run initially, which is often the case with women. Men wake up in the morning and say, I think I should be a senator, or I should be governor, or I should whatever. But women generally needs to say, have you thought about running, or would you consider running? And this is what happened to me by our county chairs in Dutchess and Columbia County. And, you know, having been on the other side, I've supported candidates, I've worked for candidates, I've been a community leader in a range of different issues, women's and girls' issues, education. I've been active in my community for all my life, or certainly as long as I can remember. And to understand that the difference that you can make from elected office is exponentially greater than what you can do even as a leader in a not-for-profit community. But certainly, you know, it's great when you can make a contribution to an organization or to a cause you care about. But when you can enact legislation and when you can educate dozens or scores or hundreds of people just by the bully pulpit that you get as an elected official fighting for the things that you care about and the values that you cherish, it helps you understand why doing something like this is worth it. And, you know, I'm my hair is gray. I'm not looking to build a career. I'm looking to go up there and get a job done. And you don't start running when you're at this stage in your life. My kids are in their 20s. You don't start running to be building a career and to be looking at what you're going to run for next. You go to get something done, and that's what's motivated me.
Well, since you touched on this, I am positive that when I walk in the door this morning, the first thing my wife is going to say is, "Why didn't you ask her about women's issues?" And this is the year of women's issues, and you did touch on it. Just overall, what is your opinion on how women are now faring, and what are you happy about? What are you worried about?
Well, you know, just from the outset, as I said, I have spent my career, my whole adult, even, you know, adolescence, as an advocate for women and women's health and women's rights. I think that the issues that we're talking about right now in this country are not women's issues. They're human rights issues. They're economic issues. When you talk about whether a woman, being a woman, is a pre-existing condition as part of the, you know, of the discussion around health care, you know, that's not the conversation. This is, you know, this we need to be understanding that women are 51% of the population, that women deserve to be able to make choices about their own bodies just the way men make choices about their own bodies. And, you know, we need to get on to talking about jobs and equal pay and those are, you know, those are the things, and those things affect everyone, because anything that affects a woman affects her family. And it's, you know, it all becomes part of what's a national conversation. We shouldn't be fighting about these kinds of things now. I can't believe that there are conversations about what's legitimate rape and what's not legitimate. There is no such thing as legitimate rape from any standpoint. There is no such thing as God having control over what happens to a woman's body. I mean, I can't believe that we're having conversations about lawmakers or bosses deciding, you know, what kind of birth control people can choose. I mean, it's, you know, these were things that I got involved with, you know, as a adolescent and young adult, and, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and I can't wait. I can't believe that my daughter is having to face those same conversations.
What a shame. Okay, so any final thoughts?
Well, I just that it's so important that everyone get out and vote. I mean, this is, and stay on the ballot till the very end. I mean, that there's, you know, obviously the presidential election and our U.S. Senate candidate, Kirsten Gillibrand. I mean, those are really important races, but we have a really important congressional races and these state races, state Senate and my race for the state assembly, and then there are some local races in some of our communities, and it's just really important that everybody go, and we have some important judicial races, Supreme Court races, and it's just really important that people go to the polls, number one. Number two, stay on the ballot till they, you know, vote in every single possible, on every single possible race, and make sure that all their friends and family do as well. It's voter turnout is going to be critical for this election, and I can't remind people enough to be sure that, you know, that they've come out and that they stay on the ballot to vote in every possible race that they can.
Well, I hope to be speaking to you again after November the 6th.
Well, I look forward
to
that.
And to see where we're going. This is Dee Dee Barrett, who we are speaking to. She is already our New York State Assembly person, and she's running for re-election in the 106th district. On November the 6th, her email address is ddbarrett.com, DIDIBARRETT.com, for those interested in volunteering or making a contribution. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to our audience.
Well, Phil, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience and to share my thoughts and, you know, to just remind people that I will continue fighting for them, and I've kept my promises from my special election, and I will keep my promises, and my door will always be open to hear what everybody's concerns and priorities are.
Well, congratulations and good luck, and we'll be keeping an eye on the polls.
Great.
And I'm looking to speak to you after the election one way or another.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, and happy birthday to the Big Bopper.
Yes. Thank you, Dee Dee Barrett, and let's